There is only one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. And then you will have an inheritance. And at the end of time, eternal life. There's only one thing that you lack. Isn't that amazing that 2015 is already here? And among the many conversations that we have, a lot of people talk about the New Year resolution or New Year resolutions. I have asked this question many times in the last few days. Actually, we're sitting at a table having a New Year's dinner, and I was at the table with some very close friends of mine, and we were having that conversation. What is your New Year resolution? In fact, one of our friends that she started the conversation, she did not want to say what her New Year resolution was until she heard from us. And of course, the conversation goes a new house, or the house, a new car, continuing education. For so many people, this question has so many different answers. A New Year resolution. And with that, we see everywhere people marketing on these people that are going for some sort of New Year's resolutions. We see slogans. We see little cliche words that say, this is the year for you or the new you. We talk about and see on commercials and television weight loss programs. And many people thinking about it. In fact, I'm guilty of it. I was asking some friends about some gym memberships. And I said, imagine how that would be if I show up this week. And how many people will be there doing the same thing. Starting up in the very first week of the year. Back to the gym and start working. Or for some people like me that never work out. Starting working out and doing something for once. A lot of people talk about financial planning. This is the year I'm going to pay all my debts. This is the year I'm going to put the house in order. A lot of people go to extreme exercise regimens. And they start the year well. And they believe that having a good health is the way to go for this year. Some people like to organize the house. In the last few weeks, I've been talking to my wife about the little section that I have there, the little section that I have with my things. And I told her, I feel like I need to buy buckets and start throwing things in because I can never find anything. So it's part of my New Year resolution to organize my stuff as well. But there is only one problem. You. Ourselves, our old habits. And quickly, we fall into these old habits. And most of the time, why do they occur? Because most of us, we have this problem that we live in a world today that we want to do everything ourselves. And we forget that sometimes there are things that we can only do if we have the help of the Lord. So what is so special about the month of January? What is so special about the year 2015? Is that making a New Year resolution? And only for the sake of the little kids that are here sometimes, they might be asking, what is a New Year resolution? Maybe they never heard that before. So I want to keep it simple for them. A resolution, a New Year resolution, is just a goal. It's something that you want to do or something that you want to become this year. By the end of this year. So you start usually by January 1st and you say, this is what I'm going to do. And by the end of the year, the end of December, you try to have that goal accomplished. And as I said, for many people, it's just about getting things. But did you know that some year resolutions, they can also be something that you are going to give up. Something that you're going to give away. Have you made any plans this year to give up something? You know, there's a story in the Bible when Jesus is interacted with the presence of a young man. Some people combine the stories of Matthew and Luke, and they say he was the rich young ruler because he's referred differently in the two different Gospels. But the story goes on to say that this young man, he has some very important questions that he would like to ask Jesus, because he truly wants to follow Jesus with all his heart. And Jesus tells him, there's one thing that you lack. If you remember the story, can you guess what that was? We just read it. What is that all about? You know, every time I preach a sermon, it's like I'm kind of insecure in myself and if the message will come across all right. And being sometimes behind the pulpit, you can use this place to say certain things that some people might not receive well. So we have to be very careful. And I was thinking about this. So I ran the story through a couple people that I talk frequently with. And the first question, actually two people said the same thing. They said, wow, who wrote the Gospel of Luke? Wasn't it a doctor? And I said, yes, it was Dr. Luke. Well, how can he be saying, give all that you have? Because if he was a doctor, as we think of doctors, we say he was a rich man. He had money himself. Did he give everything he had as he is telling the story? A very difficult story. I was talking to another friend of mine, and he actually told me to leave some things out that I'm still planning to share with you today, because this is a very, very difficult Bible passage. What does it mean to be rich, and what does it mean to be poor? Is it a sin to be a wealthy person? And it's difficult when you get around Bible texts like this one. You will see there's something wrong about money. There is something wrong about wealth. There is something wrong about wanting to have more. And I'm here to tell you today that if you are a very careful reader of the Gospel of Luke, one of the major themes found in the Gospel of Luke is this theme about rich and poor. And there are many, many Bible texts throughout the entire Gospel of Luke that is quite negative about richness, wealth, and having it too much. You know, we talk sometimes about the songs that we hear and come to word to church and we sing. And I hear it sometimes we have different praise teams here, and I'm always thinking about the song that I hear a group of people singing, you know, give me that old time religion. Give it to me. Give me that old time religion because it was good for so many people. Like if we have today a different kind of religion. Like if people today are behaving in a different kind of way. And I'm here to tell you, this is not a passage that you'll be shouting and singing, give me that old-time religion, because what the gospel writer, the Gospel of Luke, has to say about wealth and money is not very good. It's not very positive. Is it wrong? Don't you, Pastor Gilbert, want more? Don't you want a new car and a new house and new this and new... Yes, I do. And I'm here to tell you that when I told you that the New Year resolution can be something that you can give away, that you can give up to, I'm here to tell you that was not the first thing on my list. In reality, when I was going and looking and Googling and what can I say in the very first Sabbath of the month in this New Year resolution 2015, what can I say? I was so embarrassed to find out that maybe something you can give up can also be a New Year resolution, because that was not at all part of my New Year resolution. Cars, houses, motorcycles. I would like to ask you to come with me to this Bible text now once again, written in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And I would like to ask you, if you were to be coming in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God, and if you had that one question to ask Him, would you be asking the same question? When you hear this story over and over and over again, who are you in this story? Are you like the young man that has a question, that has kept all the commandments? Because I was talking to someone just the other day and I said, doesn't this Bible story sound like someone from the street walked in into a Seventh-day Adventist church on a Sabbath morning and asked one of our pastors, what do I need to do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? Because the very first answer of Jesus is, do you know about the Ten Commandments? Isn't that exactly how the conversation goes? But there is an element of surprise that comes later on, because it seems that it's not only about the Ten Commandments, it seems like it's more. So as you read this story once again, place yourself in the story. Where are you? Are you listening to this young man talking to Jesus? Are you placing yourself in this young man's shoes and saying, I am he? I've been there myself. I would like to ask Jesus about these questions as well. When you think about yourself in this story, are there people around? Are you coming to Jesus during the day or at night? Are you coming to Jesus secretly when nobody else is around that they would not judge you? Because the questions that you have to ask Jesus are too private to be spoken in public. So here comes the text that I would like to share with you. And this is from The Voice. It's a translation that I actually got from Amy McIntyre. She shared that translation with me the other day. And I think there's a beautiful way of telling the stories found in the Bible. So this young man comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit the life in the age to come? So Jesus answers him and Jesus says, why do you call me good? Because no one is good but God and only God. Imagine if you were that young man hearing those words from Jesus. It's not about me. There's only one God and there's only one good and that's God. You know what the Hebrew scriptures command? Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. I've already been doing all of these things since I came to age. Probably that young man is a good Jew at the age of 12 or 13. He's already a grown-up man in his culture. And he already knows back and forth the commandments of God and the traditions that his community teaches. He knew about the commandments of God. But Jesus tells him, there is one thing that you still lack. One thing. Sell then everything you have, all your possessions, and distribute the proceeds to the poor. And then you will have a treasure in heaven. And then you can come and follow me. And the Bible says that this man, when he heard these words, he was very sad. And he came over his face, for his wealth was considerable. What a hard thing it is, Jesus said, with much wealth to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it would be easier, he said, for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciples, the listeners, they said, then who can be saved? Who can be liberated? And Jesus said, remember, what is humanly impossible, it is possible with God. And they said, we have left everything to follow you. And you know the story. Jesus tells them, no one, I'm telling you the truth, there is nobody who leaves his house or his wife or his siblings or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive more than he has given up. Much more. Some Bible translations say 100 times more. In this age and in the age to come, he will receive eternal life. What a difficult translation. What a difficult Bible text for us to interact. Because it's easy for me to be talking about people that are much wealthier than I am, but if I think about my own personal life, the money that I make every year, the gifts that I receive, the house that I live at, the computers and the cell phones and the cars that we have, if I start comparing that with people that live in different parts of the world, I don't have to look at the congregation to say there are wealthier people out there. I am an extremely rich person indeed compared to many people that live around the world. So I'm not here in any way speaking to any of you. I'm thinking and reflecting about my own personal life. One thing. You still lack one thing. And I would like to share with you, I know some people love to open their Bibles in church. Some people love to hear those pages turning. And I want to share with you some Bible texts that has to do with the poor and the rich in the context of the Gospel of Luke. And the very first passage is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Let's come to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. There is a passage there that I want to share with you. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 53. This is Mary's prayer. And look at what it says. 152 and 153. It says, "He put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted their lowly." The lowly. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." There is something about being rich and something about being poor in the Gospel of Luke that I think it's important that we pay attention to. Let's go to another Bible passage and let's read it together. And this is found now in Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 24 to 26. Luke chapter 6, 24 and 26 through 26. And look what it says. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." In verse 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to their false prophets." What about richness, being rich? What about being poor in the Gospel of Luke that is so important that you can pretty much find little themes, little topics about this every other page in the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 8, verse 14, look at what it says. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns," talking about the parable of the seeds. I think that was my last sermon here. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they had heard, they go out and are choked because of the cares and because of the riches and because of the pleasures of life. And they bring no fruit to maturity." The seeds that fell among thorns, they represent people, they receive the word of God, but because of the riches and the pleasures of the world, they are choked and they abandon the faith. One more Bible passage. As I said, there are many passages in the Gospel of Luke. Take a look at Luke chapter 12, and we're reading now verses 16 through 21. Another passage. Luke 12, verse 16 through 21. It says here, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry, be happy. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? So many passages, as I mentioned before. I want to read a couple more for you. And I'm skipping on purpose chapter 18 that we just read. And I want to come to chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke talks about a story that we tell our little kids almost every night when we go to bed. My kids love this story. It's the story of Zacchaeus, a man that he's trying to see Jesus because of his little stature. He's sitting on a tree waiting and hoping that Jesus is going to pass by so he could as well see the face of the Master, maybe hear his voice, maybe even hear one of his parables, one of his stories. In the Bible, in the chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke, it says that when Jesus passes by Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, climb down, come down. I needed to go and spend time with you today at your house. What is interesting about this story is that when Jesus enters the house of Zacchaeus, there are already people judging Jesus of why would Jesus spend a time with such a sinner, a tax collector. And the Bible says that there is no interaction of Jesus here giving a Bible study. There's no 28 fundamental beliefs that is being shared here. Jesus is just a part of a party. Jesus is just a part of a lunch that is provided by this man that actually Jesus himself invites himself to go to. Whatever happens in this situation, whatever happened during this lunch, at one given moment, Zacchaeus, he stands up and he says, Jesus, I have an announcement. I have decided I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. I have decided, Jesus, that I'm going to give back four times from those that I have taken unjustly. Why is Luke so concerned to tell us these stories about people that have money, people that have wealth, people that have too much? And there's one last story that I'm just going to tell you for the sake of time. The last story that I could find about the poor, about the rich, in the Gospel of Luke, is the story found in chapter 21 in the Gospel of Luke. And it says in chapter 21, verse 1, then, and he looked up, and he saw the rich men putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites, two little coins. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, they have put in their offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, she put in all the livelihood that she had. There's something about money. There is something about riches in the Gospel of Luke. And going back to talking about, give me that old time religion of sharing it all. If someone would ask you today to share all your possessions, bring it to the church, especially give it to Pastor Gilbert, how would you react? Would you do that? But we are so far away of this passage. There is one place in the Gospel of Luke where you see maybe a possibility, an apologetic way of thinking about wealth and richness, because there is a text in the Gospel of Luke that says that you have to choose that you're going to love more God or Mammon. And if you do a little study about Mammon, you know, this god of wealth, this god of, what is the word here? Somebody told me just the other day. Some people, they would worship their gods, even if they had to share blood to get ahead in life, they would worship this god Mammon to get all sorts of kind of unjust ways to profit and earn money and get ahead financially. And God says in the Gospel of Luke as well, you have to choose who you're going to serve, money, Mammon, or God. What a story where a young man that knows the commandments of God, a young man that probably wanted to even impress the rabbi, the good teacher, the master, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, he comes to Jesus and said, all of those commandments I have kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him and said, you've done well. You're this close to the kingdom of heaven. There's only one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come, pick up your cross, follow me, and then you will have a treasure in heaven. And in the end, you have eternal life. I don't know what you make out of this story, to be very honest with you. I'm not the kind of person that has the personality that want to tell people what to believe and how to believe. I believe that this needs to be your personal journey with God. And depending on how the Holy Spirit of God impresses your heart, this is how you're going to live your life. A friend of mine 2 weeks said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, sometimes we are so concerned about telling other people that the Word of God, that the Scriptures is absolutely the inspired Word of God, that everything we do is to tell people how to affirm our own religion and how to affirm our own beliefs. And the only thing we do with the Bible is to use the Bible to use and to leverage the authority and inspiration of God and the wisdom of God to use to our own benefit. And this friend of mine said, we should use the Scriptures to be inspired by God. Not to tell other people how much the Scriptures are inspired. But if the Scriptures are not inspiring us, your knowledge about God is nothing. Yesterday night, my dad called me and he said, pray for your uncle. I said, which one? He said, that one that goes to that specific church. I said, why does he need prayers? He said, Gilbert, he's been baptized 3 times already. And I said, but I thought that he was getting so much wealth and he's buying houses and he's getting so much ahead of everybody. That's the only thing he talks about it. I serve a rich God and God has given me a lot because I deserve, because God gives me. God is the God of prosperity and I deserve that. But this man, he's been baptized already 3 times because he has no control over his own personality. He has no control over his own attitude towards other people. And I asked my dad and I said, Dad, do you know if he reads his Bible? And he said, son, it's kind of interesting that you're asking me. Because your uncle said that for some reason he does not like to read his Bible. For some reason he cannot stand spending time in the Word of God looking for wisdom and looking for the Spirit of God to make him a better person. He's very good to tell other people how good his religion is, but the inspired Word of God has not inspired him yet. So my question to you today is, are you telling other people how inspired is the Word of God? Are you telling people by the way you live how inspired you have been because of your interaction and because of your reading of the Word of God? When was the last time that you cried reading Scriptures? Because the Spirit of God said something to you that really melted down your heart, that sometimes is made of stones like mine. So now we have this final question to ask. If you were the rich young ruler coming in the presence of God, and if you were to look at you, and if you were to have this very same conversation with God, if Jesus Christ would look you in the eye and say, there's only one thing you lack, only one thing, what would that be? Again, I don't believe that this text is only about money. riches that is bad. Maybe the Lord wants to ask you a question today. Instead of asking you to go out and sell everything you have, maybe telling you and having this conversation with God that you've been keeping the commandments of God all your life, maybe the conversation that in your heart of hearts, be inspired by the Word of God today for this new year, 2015, instead of asking, what can I get? Maybe the Lord is telling you, what are you going to give? Because you're very close to the kingdom of God and you lack only one thing. What would that be?